This podcast is brought to you by Shout Engine. In less than 5 minutes, you can start your own podcast for free with ShoutEngine.com.
All right, we're live.
Yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. I need caffeine or something right now.
Yeah, I snuck mine in.
I got like that. I was like, we canceled the show, but then we uncanceled it, and then I was like, damn it, I have to eat. And so we ate some pizza, and now I've got the itis a little bit.
Well, I'm chock full of Chick-fil-A right now.
Oh, like really? Was there a gay wedding happening in there while you were getting your drive-thru?
Mm-hmm.
Has anyone gotten gay married in a Chick-fil-A yet? Somebody's gotta.
Hopefully somebody does.
Someone's got to do it.
Well, that woman was refusing to sign gay marriages. Is now
I know,
in jail.
Yeah. Real smart.
Like,
She's going for martyrdom, I think. She wants just, like,
well, she was...
Because she's getting, like, donations from, like, the Christian right, yeah?
Yeah. Well, yeah. She was represented by a law firm that, according to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is, like, the big thing that tracks all the hate groups,
yeah.
They go, yeah, they're an anti-LGBT group.
Yeah.
So
they... I don't know why we're talking about this, but
she's basically a bigot, and there's gay people getting married there, but not at Chick-fil-A.
But she will never have to work an honest day. She's going to be championed by some cause, and we'll live off donations now, and will not have to ever work in that job.
The fucked up thing is in that whole situation, it's like, she's doing this whole thing where it's blah, 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 my religious right and everything.
Yeah.
Well, she's really doing it. Like, she's making really good money for Kentucky. And, like, her family's held that seat for, like, 30-odd years. And her son's already in there to secede her. So it's like this whole family thing where they've controlled the whole thing forever.
It's so like in Casino, the fucking, the cowboy... Fuck, I don't know, what is he, county commissioner or whatever?
Yeah. It's basically the same thing, where her mother ran it, grandmother ran it, now she runs it, and her son's going to run it.
That sounds like you're saying our government exactly isn't on the up and up all the time.
I couldn't imagine.
Is that what you're insinuating? That sounds un-American to me, yeah. Chris.
Yeah, well, you know.
I also heard that bitch was married and divorced like 3 times.
Four.
Four?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I love the news. They dig up dirt on people so quickly.
People that fucking think they're better than everyone, and... fucking can be preachy, and then meanwhile, yeah. Anyway. Cars?
Chick-fil-A.
Cars. Back to Chick-fil-A. No, I don't know. So the Mustang outside.
Yes.
Nice to be driving that again.
Yeah, it was interesting to pull up and be like, oh, there's a Fox body.
Yeah. So. Picked it up from BBI. They did a new Mishimoto radiator with an Edelbrock water pump.
Yeah, I want to take a look at that.
Then they did a power steering cooler,
okay.
Which I don't know if we necessarily needed it, but it reduces some of the load on the radiator.
Yeah, well, and what did it cost to throw that in?
I don't know.
When you've got everything else
much,
already being done,
not much, I don't think. So I have a power steering cooler. Then I got the Sebelt harnesses done, the Grip Royal steering wheel.
Do you have the submarine and everything on there?
Yeah, there's 6-point harnesses.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That was about it. But there's still some things. Like I'm not running cats, for instance, mm-hmm. but I am running a smog pump for some reason. Because it was on there when I bought the car, and I just never took it off. So we're going to take that off. There's that X brace that is where the back seat was.
Yeah.
That is still fucking rattling. We tried to, like, he riveted it, but riveting it didn't do enough.
It
needs to be welded.
Yeah.
They make a rear seat delete kit that
they do.
They
do make one, yeah. I could just order that. But I feel guilty because I've already put the cage in it, and getting those pieces back there would be a cunt.
Well, didn't we talked at one point about maybe just cutting some MDF or something and carpeting it and put it over
there's that. Yeah, we could do that, too.
Yeah, I bet we could get it in.
Yeah, just bring it down to my house, and we'll break out the power tools.
We could do that. But I had like a 50-mile drive home from BBI on the highway, and it was fucking beautiful. I mean, the car, the highway, 175 degrees, fucking running great, engine feels strong. Then I go to the store with Thad yesterday, and I hear a new noise. And if you're into cars, the new noise, if you're like, if you're the kind of person that is in tune with your automobile, you know, the new noise is scary, you know, because it's not, it's never a good noise. It's always, no. A new noise is always bad.
There's ideally, there's supposed to be no noise.
Right. So I don't know if I ever talked about it on the podcast because it never really came up, but before I got the car to maximum, we thought it had an exhaust leak. Because Thad and I put that H-pipe on.
To immediately be taken off.
And it, yeah, we put this H-pipe on, and I heard exhaust leaking from the passenger side.
Yeah.
And I thought we just, like, weren't getting a good seal, or it wasn't fucking, you know, tight enough or whatever. And so I asked Maxim to look into it. They told me, oh, your header was actually cracked. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that's, it was an aftermarket header, like a BBK shorty header. And I was like, okay. So they welded the header back together. I don't know where it was cracked. I couldn't see it anywhere obvious, but whatever, it was cracked. So the new noise, the other header cracked.
Ah, allegedly.
Well,
allegedly, I think it did. I can't see it cracked.
Are those shorty headers?
They are BBK shorty headers.
So you have shorty headers, but no cats.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Usually the only reason you do shorty headers is because you want to keep the factory cats.
Well, the car already had shorty headers and brand new cats on it.
Right.
I took the cats off.
Okay.
And to match the pipe with the shorty header, they were brand new headers.
Right.
And literally brand, like, so I wasn't going to ditch the whole thing for long tubes. You know what I mean? And I wanted, I didn't know if I ever had to re-smog the car, I wanted the cats to fit back on.
Yeah.
So that's why. I mean, I had BBK shorty headers in my Mustang in high school. Mm-hmm. Larry had them too.
Oh,
and
yeah,
my friend,
I mean,
Jimmy had them.
Very common.
And yet, somehow I've cracked both of them in less than 1,000 miles of driving.
I think that BBK may have changed ownership several years ago to an overseas interest.
Oh, really? Are they made in fucking China now?
I believe they are.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so who makes good headers now?
I mean, all the
BBI.
I mean, I have like Cook's headers on my Vet.
Borla's, Cook's.
So I have to. So should I not fucking weld this one back up? Should I just take them off and get new headers?
They'll probably weld it back up for what, $100?
I don't even know if they'll
brand
charge
new
me
headers are $230.
Yeah,
from who?
CJ Pony Parts.
Dude, what? Who makes those? Are they shorty headers?
BBK.
Those I don't want BBK. Those are the ones that just cracked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I just punched
there.
In short
you can
headers.
Go on eBay and find 100 different companies that are making headers for that.
But who makes good headers that aren't going to crack?
Most won't. You probably just got a shitty design.
Right, well,
there.
Yeah. I don't know what happened, but so anyway, the car's running great, except there's a fucking exhaust leak on the driver's side now from a cracked header. I can keep driving on that, right? It's just a noise.
It's just annoying. I mean, if it gets
worse, yeah, I shouldn't. But like,
you could have any exhaust.
The point
shop
is, like,
that.
I'm doing like, you know, right now I'm doing development driving. So the car was quote done.
Yeah.
And I did development driving round one. I learned it ran too hot. Take it in. 2 weeks later, development driving round two, and my goal was to put 500 miles on it and then bring it back.
Mm-hmm.
But this happened like on mile 50.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I should just fucking bring it back now and have that fixed, or if I should keep driving it for a couple hundred more miles and see if anything else
goes
wrong.
Where is it cracking? Is it cracking by the collector, or is it cracking up by the head?
It sounds like it's up by the head, not by the
collector. All right. After this, we'll go out and look at it. You can usually feel it puffing the exhaust out around it, so you can feel where
the warmer. Well, yeah, I haven't done it from a cold start before. You can definitely, when you open the engine bay, you can definitely hear that it's leaking.
What I'm saying is, if we've got it running, I can tell you where it's coming from. If it's by the head, you probably want to get it fixed sooner rather than later. But if it's by the collector, fuck it. You can wait.
I'm pretty sure it's by the head.
Sounds like it's near the head.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll
Cooks?
See.
Cooks? Yeah, they have the headers from my Vet.
Yeah.
Much for shorty Cooks headers.
Names aren't coming to mind, but there are plenty of good companies that make headers these days.
Well, I've had no problem with the Corvette ones.
You know, you've got the classic hooker headers have always been okay.
Yeah.
Borla's. I've liked Borla stuff for a while.
Everyone on 5 liters uses fucking BBKs. Everybody.
It's because they're cheap.
I don't remember.
They're all about the same price.
I don't remember them
price,
being
dude.
That much, that cheap. Like, when I bought them back in the day, they weren't, like, the cheap option. They was just, like, that's what everyone
dude,
got.
There's Ford Racing ones in here for $250.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Make sure, sure it's not the Coyote 5.0.
Maybe I should just,
For $250, I guarantee it's not the Coyote ones.
It might be. It couldn't be that much different.
No, the Coyote ones are probably going to run you almost a grand right now.
For fucking headers?
Why? Good headers on a modern car are expensive, man.
Why? Packaging? They just have to...
Demand, packaging. I mean, it's a lot of things. Like, a really good set of headers on a Corvette is going to run you about a grand.
Well, I don't remember mine being that expensive when I bought mine. I don't know. Well, I'll find some new fucking headers.
They're all 200, no more.
Yeah, you can fix it.
That's an add to the list thing.
Yeah.
So it's annoying, but for now I'm just driving it.
It's not an immediate danger thing. So
it really just bothers me.
Yeah.
Obviously, but other than that, the car is fucking running awesome.
Yeah, I rode it only for a little bit and rides nice.
Yeah.
It's bumped smooth.
The suspension's really really good.
Yeah.
I haven't gone fast in it yet.
What do you have for bushings in it?
Delrin.
Yeah.
All Delrin.
Yeah. Further proving the bushings can be as hard as can be. It's all about the shocks.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much.
It lets the shocks do their work.
Yeah. I have the custom valved Bilstein shocks, which are valved to maximum specifications.
Are they adjustable or are they just set?
They are adjustable. I think they are.
Not
I don't
that it
know.
Matters. I mean,
I think they're adjustable. Yeah, because like they set the height and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm not going to touch it at all. Yeah, no reason.
That's the funny thing to me that people go crazy that aren't spending all day at the track on adjustable dampers. It's like, how many times? I've had adjustable dampers. I've maybe touched them twice.
I have adjustable dampers in my Corvette. I set them one time and haven't touched them since.
Tell you why I want adjustable dampers. So I can adjust them. I want the three-way so I can control body roll,
because
that's the low-speed damping. And then you can change how it rides over other bumps on compression and rebound.
Right.
So I think I know what I would like it to ride like, and thus be able to tune it accordingly.
Well,
best of luck, sir.
I think. Well, we'll have a pretty good experiment because I've got the Mountain shocks on my or the Mountain springs on my shocks right now. You can go drive that and see how you like that. And then I just got coilovers, so those will be going on this weekend. So we'll have a pretty good back to back.
No, yeah, the I like fiddling with stuff. I like tinkering.
It's really cool. Is the ones that have the little motors on top of the shocks now, so you can electronically control them.
Yeah,
those are
that
kind of
was
fun.
What the KW DDC ones were.
Yeah,
they had like a little servo on it.
Know who had that like way back when with Bosch? The Ferrari 355 had a adjustable with a little motor that would turn. It was so basic. It's you know how you normally like put a screw in the thing and turn it?
Yeah.
It was a motor that they just plopped over the top of the shock.
Oh, that's basically all the
guns are. It was those parts go bad so often on those fucking cars. It's like $3,000. And you could just put in new good shocks that don't have the electronic fucking control.
On that's one situation where I would probably just do that.
Oh, it's terrible.
Yeah, that's what I don't know how reliable that is on the new stuff because there's not that many people that run. I'm guessing it's probably not that much better.
Well, now they have like adaptive dampers and stuff like that, which are
better. But I mean like the aftermarket ones where they've got the
The KW
adjustment.
Makes them and they're called DDC, which is DCC, dynamically controlled coilover.
Okay,
DCCD, dynamically controlled
DCC,
dynamic computer controlled damper.
DC, I don't know, look up, whatever.
It's like the ATM machine.
It has like a little Wi-Fi network in your car that you can control your main settings, and then you can actually go through and like really, really tune them. It seemed like more trouble than it was worth, but they were really neat.
It's a fun gimmick.
It's a fun gimmick, but it was a fucking expensive one. I remember that Turner M3 had them. What is it?
DDC.
DDC, dynamically.
ECU coilovers.
Yeah. What does DDC stand for? Dynamic damping control?
Let me look.
Dynamic damper control.
I'm guessing that's what it is.
Yeah.
Dynamic damping control.
Yeah. They were fucking cool. They seemed really expensive and complex.
Well, I guess, so the coilovers I just got are from KW's kind of, they have like a subline now where the KW's, we all know that they're like the top of the line before you go to like a Penske or something like that. And they're all stainless. Well, they make a line that's just below that now that's galvanized, so they're, you know, a good 30% cheaper.
What is galvanized versus stainless again? Galvanized is not stainable?
Stainless has very little carbon in it, so it doesn't rust. Versus galvanized has a coating on the outside of the steel so that it can't – basically, the part that would get oxidized doesn't really touch the air. Oh, okay. So that's why they're like galvanized is like a gold color. That's what it is.
They put like electroplate on it, or is it paint?
No, it's an electroplated process. Yeah.
Oh, all right. Now I know something.
So that's the big difference on those. And I'm like, oh, okay, cool.
The Variant 3s are only $2,000 for the Fiesta. That's not bad.
You said 1900. Yeah.
That's not bad.
Yeah. But do you really need them? I don't know. I drove a couple different Evos recently,
and the V3s.
One of them had some kind of aftermarket suspension, and it was fucked. And then I drove one that was stock suspension, and it was brilliant.
Stock suspension's usually pretty good.
On a modern car, stock suspensions are so fucking nice.
The Evo's kind of an outlier too. That's a pretty fucking special car.
Yeah, but it happens over and over where I drive cars that have modified suspensions, and they're noticeably worse than stock
because they're too stiff.
They're too stiff, or they're too low, or they're too bouncy. Whatever it is, people fuck it up.
Well, everybody wants to just slam their cars, whereas we've been around the block enough times to know that sucks.
It does suck. And other people, I've seen cases where people will take out magnetic ride control, which is crazy.
It's insane.
I don't know if it's that crazy. I mean, if you...
Nobody makes a better shock than that. No. Right. Nobody.
But if you get... Well, no, you do. You can. If you're doing...
Fucking Ohlins or Moton. Yeah.
If you go...
Nothing riders, short of that. Maybe.
No, if you go to do track work and, like, say you're driving a Vette, because the Vette's the most common thing, it's got magnetic ride control, right? And you go to buy, like, a set of LG coilovers, those are better shocks than the magnetic ride control.
For a track and on an older car.
No, even on the new ones, but...
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't know.
They'll pull them out of the race cars. The race cars don't run them.
I mean... Well, race cars, but race car is a full thing. If all that matters is your time,
then you're going to run
$10,000 dampers. Yeah. That might be better, but if you drive those two cars in the street, guess what? The one with race dampers is going to ride like shit.
It's what are your priorities? Is it a comfortable ride?
Accepting a race car.
Yeah.
I've seen people with street cars who pull out magnetic ride control.
That's
fucking stupid.
Silly, unless it's time to replace your shocks, and then it's ungodly expensive.
Yeah. I've never driven an old and tired. Is there such thing as old and tired when you have...
It's a magnetic fluid.
Same rule as any other shock.
Like,
are they that much more expensive to replace?
Yeah, they're a lot more expensive.
They are?
Yeah.
Huh. And you still have to replace them with the same interval you have to replace regular shocks, like 100,000 miles?
Yeah, thereabouts.
How much more expensive could they be?
I know on the Vette you're looking at like $2,000 to replace them all.
And how much?
That's the same price as the KW Variant 3.
Yeah, that's what coilovers cost.
It's not that bad.
Yeah.
Let me see if the eBay magnetic.
I don't know. I can't think of really any reason other than a race car where you'd want to take out magnetic ride control. It's just so much better than anything else you could buy.
Well, it's, for example, like going back to the Vette, like some guys, they'll get to 100,000 miles, and then rather than going to coilovers, they'll just go buy a good set of Bilstein dampers, and that'll be $500.
Yeah. Well, that's because they're being cheap, not because they're actually upgrading the car.
Right.
I mean, I like Bilstein dampers. I have them in my Mustang, but like, I don't think you're doing yourself an upgrade by getting rid of a magnetic shock.
Yeah, it's there are a lot of things that weigh in on it, but on a street car, I agree. But if you're that much of a fucking track guy,
if it's a race car, then get race dampers. I mean, get Motons or Ohlins or something. You know, some remote reservoir JRZ thing. That's but those are $10,000.
Right,
a good set of race dampers. You're not going to get a good set for less than. Than you can get with magnetic.
I was just talking about this with somebody the other day, and it's just like, people that think $2,000 is expensive for a good set of dampers, that's like just the entry level of decent dampers.
Yeah.
Some of those things are like $10,000 a quarter.
Yeah. And that's how your project car becomes stupid.
Yeah, look, let me go. I think Ohlins has a price thing. Let me go to Ohlins.
I bet most of these people don't list prices.
When you get to the expensive ones,
no.
They don't.
Because it's not, they're just like, I need it. It doesn't matter how much it costs.
That and they're all custom valved and everything at that price, so it all depends on what you want.
They have a lot of cool technology with like to make stuff ride better, different valves and things that may not happen in like a regular fucking like regular Bilstein versus like an Ohlins has like crazy trick valving and rates and blah, 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 blah.
I mean, there's a reason some of this shit costs more.
It's the second most important thing. Tires are the first. And then keeping the tires on the ground is the job of the suspension. So obviously that's important.
You know who did it really, for anybody that kind of want to learn more of this? The guy, Engineering Explained on YouTube.
Oh, yeah,
he's got a really good video on damping that explains why harsh damping is not necessarily good damping.
Yeah, that's why the Mercedes are faster around track in regular mode than they are in Sport Plus.
I watched Johnny's tune head-to-head the other day with the ATS-V and the C63.
Uh-huh.
The ATS-V did their figure eight within a hundredth of a second from a 458.
Ooh.
And then the C63 was just behind a GT3.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. These are sedans we're getting there with.
Yeah.
Tire really trick stuff.
Tires, too. I mean, the last time they probably did the 458 was 5 years ago. Mm. Doesn't the ATS-V have, like, fucking bitchin' optional, like, can't you get cup twos on it or something?
I think they may be super sports.
Oh, they're super sports. The 458 was super sports.
The 458's pretty loose in comparison.
Yeah.
Like, but naturally it's looser, so you're going to come
458s get fucking nice and slidey, and I don't think,
ATS-V probably slidey, but more hooked up.
I don't know. I have an ATS-V coming.
But the fact that we're even, like, discussing this is silly. I mean, 458, still one of the best cars on the road. Mm-hmm. And an ATS-V, a sedan that comes at $65,000 is that close. It's fucking ridiculous.
And yet nobody will buy the ATS-V.
I think the ATS-V is gorgeous.
It's a great looking car until you get inside.
Let's see. I bet
that Q system. I wouldn't even make it to a fucking test drive if I wasn't.
Well,
me.
I guess we're getting a refresh on that whole interior for next year.
Well, I certainly hope so, because that fucking system is a piece of junk.
And apparently, Q is going away.
That'd be great. You can get. Someone told me on the set of this thing I just did that they have some other GM car. I can't remember what it was, that has Q but with knobs, and like it works so much better.
Yeah, that's don't understand why these guys are doing so much effort to have multiple systems to maintain. Just make one good corporate.
The one that was in the Volt was fucking awesome, and it's the same one that was in the SS.
The trucks, the ones in the trucks are good too.
Yeah, the one in the truck is the same one you get in the Vet.
Yeah,
yeah.
So they're finally standardizing. Yeah. It's just,
I for a minute I drove the new Escalade in when I was in Detroit, and it's a piece of shit in that, too.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing how badly they could fuck that up.
That's a damn good-looking truck.
Escalade's nice.
That's a good
truck. I like the Escalade. I drove it around. It was fucking... It was sweet, and then I read the sticker price, and I went, oh, no, pass.
What, it was almost $100,000?
It was $94,000 on the one I drove. Ooh. Yeah, it was crazy expensive. Crazy expensive.
It's funny. You don't really... Certain cities you go into, and you can see Escalades everywhere. Like, you go in any city in the South, Escalades.
There's obviously quite a few of them in Detroit.
I can see that. Or you go to Texas, there's Escalades.
Yeah.
But out here, I never see Escalades anymore.
People buy Range Rovers and X5s and shit like that here. Nobody buys Escalades here. They're too big for L.A.
Yeah.
Especially not anyone that lives
in the only apartment. Suburbans I see are fucking cat Ubers.
Yeah.
And
Escalades, too.
So
I just built
kids.
An ATS-V.
Yeah.
Real quick. $75,000.
Yeah.
That's not bad.
They say you can do lease payments for 4 years for $700 a month.
A 4 year lease. It's a lot of money for a 4 year lease. What can you do for? Can you use a configurator? What's a 2 year lease?
Let me see adjust.
That's what I'm talking about. Talking about that 2 year, 24 month shit.
24 month?
Yeah.
Whew, $7,000 due at signing.
Oof.
$913 a month.
You can fucking
lease
pass
a Ferrari for about that much.
Pass on that. I talked about the GT350 thing in the last show, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did, right? Yeah. That was going to be more affordable, but it's not going to happen now.
That car is pretty badass. I've seen a couple videos of it ripping.
Well, hopefully by the time the Focus lease is up, they'll be available.
Around.
It's a Mustang. They'll be available.
They will be around.
There'll be something else new and better anyway.
There's no such thing as a rare modern Mustang.
Laguna Seca. That's pretty true. Laguna Segas are tough ish to come by.
But you can still
still get one if
they're going
up
in price though. We talked about this.
Yeah,
until that GT350 comes out.
Yeah, and then they
I
will
bet
drop.
They continue to go up. They're like solid rear axle.
They are solid rear axle.
Yeah, so like it's the last.
What does that
mean?
It's not like air cooled shit. Nobody was like, please keep the rear axle. You're ruining the brand
for years, dude.
You know, just a couple of thousand rednecks. That's the only people that want that
thing. Those people are not buying collector cars.
No, they're buying used cars. They're buying old Fox bodies.
Yeah.
$42,000 to $49,000 for a Laguna Seca Boss.
So you could have driven it for miles free. I could have driven it for free for 2 years.
Yeah, basically.
Yep. That's a shame.
Let me see here. I'll tell you how many miles on the most expensive one or best offer. Not sold.
How many miles?
432.
Oh, so I could have not driven it. I could have sat on it and stared at
you
it.
You could have admired it in your
and
garage.
Made $0.
Let me look at the $42,000 one.
Okay.
7,000 miles.
Okay.
So, you know.
You couldn't have driven it much.
I couldn't have driven it much. I could have driven it a bit.
The seats are for sale online.
Oh, good. I need those.
You need this rear seat delete X-brace, though.
I do need that, yeah. So the Aston Martin's done. Converted.
Oh, it is
converted, yes.
Are you going to bring it out?
I don't know, but I do know that before it goes on the boat home, I've sent Chris Harris to go drive it.
Okay.
To make sure it works.
Do you think he'll make a video about it?
I hope he doesn't.
You know he's going to.
It's
going to
come back broken, just like his S4. I had brand new tires put on it, too. He can't shred the brand new Pilot Supersports.
Chris can swing a new set of tires if he fucks up.
I had to sign a release for them to put Supersports on it.
They would only put the
OEM tire on the car, which was a fucking Yoko.
We will only put an inferior tire on the car.
And so I had to sign a release saying I won't sue them for putting Super Sports on the car.
It's absurd.
I don't know. We're going to see. Just another month now.
You going to try to bring it out for the summer?
Maybe. I don't know. It might be fun.
It's not like you have other cars to take.
I know. I'm here. We're gone. Look at you see our schedule. We're fucking
gone. I
didn't even
do much for the summer.
Why don't you make a video with the Mustang? It's like, I don't have a day to do that for weeks.
I think you're like running into exactly what I did after a while of living here, is you stop going back east as often. So we kind of, you're not using it as much there.
Yeah, I know. I go all the time, though, for work. Going to do the Shelby thing.
Yeah.
On the East Coast. I'm doing like one takes in New Jersey.
Yeah, but you're in and out the next day.
I don't know
why.
I don't know. It's like North Central Jersey.
Oh.
I don't know why I'm doing one takes in New Jersey.
That's
Central South.
Oh.
I don't know what the fuck. Why I was like, yay, well, fucking work. Why am I doing that? I don't need
You have
to
enough
that.
Till February.
No, because I, you know why? To justify
the
price
cost.
Of the flight. That's why I did it.
Right.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
But I made status on Delta, and I made status on United.
Okay.
That's good.
That's all I have. That's,
you get two
that's
free
all.
Check bags.
That's the only thing
you
I have
Premier.
To look forward to.
No, there's a lot of things, a lot of perks.
Dude,
you get to
remember,
Premier boarding.
Remember half hour ago when we were sitting right here,
yeah.
or right over there, I should say, playing new Forza Motorsport 6,
yeah.
and I did a race. The first race of Forza 6 demo is a three-lap race at Lime Rock.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How long did that take? 3 minutes?
Yeah.
3 minutes and 20 seconds in a slowish car?
Yeah.
That's what I'm flying all the way to New York to do.
A 320?
To drive three laps of Lime Rock in the Shelby GT350. It's going to take 3 minutes. I'm flying for 10 hours, driving for 4 hours, and paying for all of it out of pocket for 3 minutes in a GT350.
They suckered all you guys in.
All you fucks better watch this video, because it's an utter waste of my time and money to do this.
Glucker kind of pissed me off the other day. He had an invite from Ford to go up to Laguna and go do it.
Yeah.
And then he goes, nah, I can't go. Meanwhile, he didn't tell me that it was just sitting there while he couldn't go. I was like, I would have fucking taken your spot. Jesus.
Could you have gone?
Yeah.
Could he say, oh, what? Yeah, that's a dick move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he going to one of the other ones?
Yeah, I think he's trying to go to another one, but
okay.
Even still, it was an open spot. I could have snagged it.
Well, they would have given it to someone else if he said he couldn't go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They for sure would have, yeah. But
that's not a lot of seat time, though.
3 fucking minutes.
You got to find a way to get that. Like, even the GT350. Is still flat plane, right?
They're the same engine.
Yeah. So
I've only been guaranteed the regular 350. I'm begging for the R. I'm like, do you guys understand like what I have to do and how little money I will make from doing this? Like, if I can do both, I can get twice as much content and I'm happy. But like, they're like, yeah, well, we'll see what we can do.
You're not you're getting a ride.
No, I'm not getting a ride. They offer me a ride, I'm just saying no. That's a consulting. To fly across the fucking country for a ride. I would actually be insulted. They said, no, you can't drive it. You can go for a ride. Sorry.
What's the major difference of the 350 and the 350R?
Carbon wheels are the big one.
Yeah.
Carbon wheels, there's a bunch. There's a
aero,
bunch of shit. Right? Yeah, the wings.
Can you get optional aero?
There's AC and radio delete, but you can add those back in. There's
you know
different,
how well that
there's
out
some
with the
different suspension stuff. There's some different stuff.
To answer your question, you could parts catalog it later if you really
wanted
to.
Your own R, I think, mostly.
Yeah. How much?
I don't think they'll sell you the wheels, though.
How much do the wheels actually make a difference?
Big difference. They're Carbon Revolution wheels, remember? You were with me.
But
rotational mass is the biggest difference you can
make. I realize,
make.
But for $15,000, $20,000, do you really
first off, the cost
care?
To go from the 350 to the R is less than just the cost of those wheels.
Really?
Yes.
What's the difference? Like 10?
Those wheels were about 15 grand for a Porsche, right?
Yeah, there were a lot.
I think it's like 12 gets you from a 350 to an R.
Oof.
And that includes those wheels.
Yeah, oh, I can build a GT350 on
that. You can.
Let me see here.
But I'm... If you work at Ford, please, please just let me get my three laps in the R, because...
Have you emailed your friends over there?
I tried, and they stopped responding.
Oh.
No one would guarantee anything.
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, it's like I'm complaining about something that I know a lot of people would pay money to do. A lot of people would, if you said to some people, you know, it'll be $500 and you get these, they would do it.
Yeah, but they're not doing this for a living and trying to eke out their month to month on it.
Exactly. Like I'm going to be deep negative for this, and so I'll be slightly less negative if I can do the R.
All right, so I got a comparison.
Uh huh.
GT350R comes standard with a diff cooler, engine oil cooler, and transmission cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see here.
Which can all be done cheap.
There's integrated driver control system thing, whatever the fuck that is. Comes standard on the 350R. Carbon fiber wheels are standard on the GT350R.
Are they optional at all on the regular 350?
No. Yeah, no. bunch of wheel choices. What's the standard tire?
Bless you.
Pilot Sport Cup 2s are standard on the GT350R. Launch control standard on both of them. You get Pilot Super Sports on the GT350.
You get a bunch of little stuff.
Wheels and tires was the biggest stuff that I remember.
You get a bunch of stuff, but a great portion of that upgrade is going to the tires.
And those cooler
things. To the wheels. Yeah. That's mostly it. But I want to fucking drive the thing badly. Must.
Understandable. Yeah. It should be awesome.
And if you're gonna, if someone's gonna fly all the way across the country to do it, they should humor us with the laps.
It kind of just be the courteous thing at that
point. It would. Yeah, it really would. So anyway, I hope that happens. I don't fucking know. I don't know. I feel like the trip is going to be a gigantic waste of my time.
Yeah.
I have that vibe about it that it's going to be a huge waste of time.
It would be fantastic if we had a number to attach to. Do you know how many people we convinced to buy your fucking Fiestas?
You know, it's weird that those two departments don't talk to each other.
Because the Fiesta and Focus people fucking love us.
I know, but they don't. It's not like Fiesta department and Mustang department. It's like there's no.
Finance versus PR.
Yeah, there's no like actual like link to it where it's like it's not like here's a list of 300 people that did this and the
well that's
like,
because yeah, we didn't I can put like the Ford referral link in all of our web pages.
Yeah, like I can retweet their fucking tweet.
Yeah,
but that's like the best I've got. And who knows who's what? You know, there's some fucking college intern watching that feed. You know, not
he's like who are these people?
Yeah,
it could be enumerated.
Jim
once
Farley
again,
is not watching that Twitter feed.
No.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But I don't know. Please, someone at Ford, just let me drive the goddamn R. I'm going real thousands and thousands of miles to do it.
You got that status. I think you automatically upgraded to premium.
Shit,
plus.
I do not have an upgrade. I am flying coach.
No. If you have status, they put you into economy plus.
Oh, on United,
I believe.
On United,
I think so.
All right. Well, we'll find out, won't we?
You'll see.
Whatever.
You'll be on the upgrade list, though. You could wind up in first class. That's possible.
It is possible.
Yeah.
First class was nice last week. That was really, really helpful. Especially,
first class is the fucking
especially
best.
When I got to boot Jeff Ross.
See?
But he had a guy waiting for him at luggage. He had a man in a suit.
Uber.
Yeah. Spike said you can Uber from LAX now.
Yeah, yeah.
You can?
Yeah. For a while.
Really?
Yeah.
But not Uber X.
No, just regular Uber.
Like black car Uber.
Yeah, they want somebody that has a Uber license. X.
You can Uber X from
Pickup. I haven't done it because it takes too long.
Oh.
It's like I have all my luggage now that's like 7 to 10 minutes. I'm like, the taxi line's like 4.
Yeah, yeah. But Uber's half the price.
Well, that and
I don't pay for it. I bill it.
That is true, yeah.
We live here and we know 30 people within 10 miles of the airport, so usually getting a ride from the airport's not a problem.
Getting picked up from the airport still sucks.
It does.
That's like one of the, especially in L.A., like you could get fucked by picking someone up from the airport for like, I'll be nice, I'll pick you up, hour and a half later.
The old house was the real clutch. Yeah, that was 6 minutes door to door. That was the shit.
Yeah.
But this, like,
if you fly home at noon on a Saturday now and you have to go into Venice Beach, it's a big problem.
Well, luckily summer traffic will be dying down soon too, so.
Oh, it is. It's way quieter in Venice now.
Yeah.
Although it was a shit show yesterday because this fucking kid almost died. Or did die.
Did die.
Drowned in the fucking ocean. And they had like choppers all over and the boats all over and the fire trucks. It was fucking crazy.
Yeah. Man. It's one thing when you live at the beach, every once in a while it'll be like 11 o'clock at night and you hear helicopters for an hour and a half.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody drowned.
Or people just like screaming at each other in the alley. I hear that a lot.
We've been around a lot of death living there.
It's called Venice, dude.
The lightning bolt people.
This fucking guy, the guy who lives a few houses up from us, owns this hotel called the Cadillac Hotel in Venice. Mm-hmm. And they like killed a guy. There was like a homeless guy. I'm simplifying the story. There was some homeless people like sleeping or whatever up against this hotel. And he like tried to get rid of them and there was an altercation. And he like told someone else to kill this guy. And the guy did.
Mm-hmm.
And like now he's in jail on like murder charges.
And the gunman's like, still running around.
Yeah.
Dun, dun, dun.
That's bad. But I think kind of this shit comes with the territory of living by the beach anyway.
Yeah. Some of this stuff, because all like, the rest of L.A. floods,
right,
flows.
Because in my house you get shark attacks, people drowning, people doing dumb shit on the beach at night. And then like every once in a while a city bus running over people because they refuse to put fucking stoplights in my neighborhood.
Well, yeah, we have like stabbings.
Some guy drove down the alleyway and like hit 10 people.
Oh yeah, Grand Theft Auto guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking drunk guy drove up fucking Speedway and ran over like 3 cyclists, 4 pedestrians and hit 3 cars.
Well, that's
it was crazy.
Speaking of Grand Theft Auto, I mean, you can remember the guy like 3 years ago that decided he was going to go up and down the boardwalk running over people.
Oh
right?
Yeah.
Oh, and there's
and
the
Grand
Farmer's
Theft Auto
Market
is
guy.
There's a like our hood is in Grand Theft Auto.
It ends
isn't it?
Like 2 blocks before your house.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So like yeah. So I took a picture from the roof of like Hotel Irwin and put it on Instagram. And I like someone's like, "Damn, you live in Grand Theft Auto."
True. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, look what I just found. V8 Vantage 6-speed.
Yeah.
Cheap.
How cheap?
$45,000.
Really?
Yeah.
What year? It's got like an 06. 06, 07?
California title. What year is this?
Have a million miles on it?
No, dude, they're just dropping like rocks.
Are you telling me that you can buy a V8 Vantage with a stick for less money than it costs to convert a Vanquish to a stick?
Yeah, 2006.
Really?
Yeah.
You can buy a newer Aston Martin than mine for less money than it costs to put a new transmission in mine.
For $45,000, that's a
how many miles are on that? Like a million?
It says 59, but it's probably 59,000.
That's 59,000.
Yeah.
That's 59,000 miles.
Even still.
For 45 grand.
For $45,000, an Aston Martin with 59,000 miles is not bad.
The doors go up.
59,000. No, they don't.
A little bit.
59,000 is a lot of miles for an Aston Martin.
It is.
I mean, if you're going to buy a super high mileage one, I guess the V8 Vantage is probably the way to go.
Especially
it's
with
the most sorted motor, isn't it?
No. I would say the 12. If you were to buy a DBS or a DB9, you'd probably, with a bunch of miles on it, you'd probably be okay.
Speaking of Aston Motors, we've got to be about ready for the Mercedes stuff to start kicking in.
Yeah, it's happening soon, but it's going to happen. They just did this fucking, the James Bond edition.
Yeah.
You see that thing?
Yeah.
What are they doing over there? You don't have to make a James Bond edition Aston Martin. That is the stupidest shit in the world. Every person on Earth associates Aston Martin and James Bond.
You mean
Bond
they all
already.
Are by default the James Bond edition?
Yeah. I mean, that's like, I don't know, doing a fucking a Carroll Shelby edition Cobra. It's or whatever.
Well, once again, kind of implied.
You know, but. Like, or a fucking, oh, I guess they did do a Bullet edition Mustang, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
You know who...
Aston Martin's worse.
You know who the type of guy buys Aston Martin and is obsessed with the James Bond shit? Remember the Ferrari Challenge race?
Yeah.
No, the Ferrari Challenge race. The terrible guy, Patundi or whatever.
Okay.
Who crashed into everybody.
Oh, yeah.
G, whatever it was. You remember? You watched the video.
Yeah.
Basically the guy that crashed into fucking everybody and was terrible. He has a yacht named Moonraker.
Oh, really?
He has like all this James Bond shit.
Uh-huh.
That's
a wife named Octopus.
That's the guy. But they're going to make like a bunch of those things.
It's terrible. Like, you don't need to do this.
It's really, really terrible. Really terrible.
150 of them.
Good luck selling those.
They don't put the badges on until after they're sold.
Yeah, true. Delivery options, right?
Like, boop, right there.
Yeah, no, I mean...
If it did come with, like, I don't know what the fuck they're
thinking. Oh, yeah, of course.
Like, if you had an oil slick or whatever.
That would be legal.
Smoke screen.
Yeah, these are things that a company could just sell.
Comes with one Daniel Craig.
Yeah, Daniel Craig fucking murders you and then, like, gives you a hand job afterwards.
Afterwards, after the murder.
Yeah, post-mortem.
Which is more difficult from what I follow.
I thought you released all your fluids when you die.
I don't know. Where are we going with that?
I don't know.
We should probably take a break on that note.
Yeah, I think jacking off dead guys is
We can stop there, really. We'll be back. All right. Dylan Optics, the official eyewear of the Smoking Tire. You see those cool matte finish sunglasses I'm always wearing? Those are Dylan Optics. They have a special lens technology that makes life seem HD. Not even kidding. It's actually they're amazing and they work really great. And if you drive a lot, they definitely save your eyes at the end of a long day. Go to thesmokingtire.com and click on our banner for Dylan Optics, and we'll send you a free T-shirt if you order a pair. Speaking of T-shirts, the T-shirt of the Month Club is going strong. Go to thesmokingtire.com and click on the merch tab. It'll take you over to the T-shirt of the Month Club site. You can enter the club for 1 month or 12 months, and you get a discounted rate at 12 months, and we'll send you a new shirt every single month. If you don't want to commit, you can buy any of the shirts we've already come out with for the club members at a retail price on the same site. we'll talk about Forza afterwards because Forza, we've been playing it. Yeah. What else do I want to talk about? Huh?
Totally thought that wheel was broke. I've saved hours of my life.
Yeah. Drive on NBC Sports is coming back in October from Texas. We're going to go film that starting on Sunday. And, oh, wait, when's Japan coming out?
I have no idea.
Japanese Grand Prix, right? From Japan will be out right before Japanese Grand Prix on NBC Sports.
Which means we can release that podcast.
Yeah, which means we could finally use that podcast. And then, of course, Wheelwell is the automotive social network you've been waiting for. From Italian exotics to American muscle and rock crawlers, Wheelwell is the place to connect with others who share your adrenaline-fueled addiction. Create a profile for your ride and share photos, specs, and keep track of all your modifications. Find friends, join clubs, and connect with fellow gearheads. Create a Wheelwell profile for your car and send it over to us, either through Wheelwell or through our Facebook page, to get selected for a Smoking Tire One Take. We are booking for February. That's wheelwell.com, of course. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, all /TheSmokingTire, YouTube /TheSmokingTire, and leave us a comment on iTunes if you download the podcast on iTunes in order to keep us high in the rankings. Do you know what happened, Chris? A bunch of people were talking about why they stopped getting podcasts, like in May, and they had to unsubscribe and resubscribe.
It is not clear what the hell happened there with that because there was nothing.
There
was nothing that changed on our side. The only thing that I'm thinking it could have been is some podcast clients may not have been happy with like a podcast feed that had hundreds of episodes because most shows will only do like 30 or 40 episodes because they're under a different hosting arrangement than we are.
And they'll delete the oldest ones.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Whereas we just don't give a shit because it's my company and that's not how I operate things with Shout Engine. So, I don't know. They may have been having issues. But, I mean, it wasn't enough that it was consistently a problem. I mean, we have 100,000 people that listen to this on a regular basis.
No, I know. Yeah, I know.
And we didn't have 100,000 complaints, so I don't know exactly what it was.
Yeah. I mean, the numbers on the show didn't go down, but I got a bunch of tweets
Got people
where's the podcast? I haven't seen one in months. And I'm like, well, it's there. I mean, So
yeah,
I don't know. It appears on Shout Engine. I can tell you that
it does. And if I will tell you right now, if you're still having that problem, email tech@shoutengine.com because we'd love to figure out what it was. Because if it's happening to you, it could be happening to somebody else, and that's a problem we want to fix.
Yeah, I don't know what it was, but in order to solve, you unsubscribed and resubscribed, and then they all showed up.
And that'll do it. Yeah, so just support it, Shout Engine, and we'll try and help you out.
Anyway. Fuck else are we talking about here? I don't even know.
Well,
I'm just looking at
Chrome. Forza 6, I mean, it was...
Oh, yeah, Forza 6. We got the demo for last episode.
And unfortunately, a mix-up happened where you didn't get the full one, but I got the full one.
I don't know how you got the full game, and I just got the demo.
I think the PR firm that they're dealing with just didn't
had your
have
email address?
They had mine and didn't have yours, but I'll send out an email today. We'll get that taken care of. I've been spending a fair amount of time with it over the last couple of days. I probably got 3 or 4 hours into it. God damn, that game is fun.
Yeah, I mean, we were just fucking with the demo, and the demo, I mean, other than making you jump through some demo-type hoops, is sweet. That Brazil track is cool.
Rio is a good track.
Lime Rock is on there.
Lime Rock is the second track in the game.
The rain is difficult.
And the rain, yeah, it's very
hard.
The
rain is actually, I love playing in the rain, though. It's so much fun, because I was doing, I just did a race in Sebring last night before I went to bed in the rain, and I had an M235, and if you're in the right car in the rain, it just turns into drift happiness.
Yeah.
And if you can hold the angle, you can whip around that track.
The driftiness is still there for sure.
Yeah.
And even in the dry, our wheel is working good right now, I think.
Yeah. I need a wheel. I need to buy a wheel.
Their games aren't the same without the wheel.
They're not. But at the same time, you know, I don't have a huge place.
No,
it's
I
just kind of...
It's a space commitment.
I mean, it's 5 feet of your house that you got to give up.
There's a reason that setup is here at the studio and not at the crib.
Wow. I mean, you do have room at the house, but I can see where you don't want to trip over it.
Yeah, no, it would be...
You'd be sucked in.
Yeah. It would get way too much usage.
Like
nothing productive would happen.
Tom would just stay up hours.
Yeah. But Forza 6, I'm digging. In the demo, I haven't gotten that far into it, but I couldn't drive the new GT with any of the systems turned off.
When you start the full game, that's the first car they give you because they want to get you hooked.
Yeah.
So you start that in Rio, and it's fun. I mean,
But could you put it in manual shifting mode or turn off any of the systems?
I can't recall.
Because you can't, and the first game in the demo... I just went around the track with my foot on the floor, and
it was
auto braking, auto everything.
So what I played was basically the same as what we played at the press preview when you first start the game.
Oh, so they would let you use manual mode for that.
Yeah, at the beginning of the race, you can configure a lot of stuff. I just don't really remember everything because there's a lot of stuff. Because
in the demo, they don't let you do it right away.
Yeah.
You got to go into the thing.
And I'm playing with a controller, so it's just like I don't like playing manual with a controller.
Yeah, no, for sure. But the tracks look really nice, and the vehicle dynamics. I drove the 22B STI was really, really nice. That's I enjoyed nice. That. And the RX-7 drove good, too.
Visually, I don't think it stands that far away from 5. I mean, there's some extra things. But the biggest thing that I see is there's a lot more cars on the track.
Yeah, I mean, when you're doing a race with 24 cars on the track, there's a lot more traffic to play with.
Yeah, there's a lot... The night racing is really cool.
Yeah,
and I played in the night in the rain.
It's really hard.
Funny thing, I don't find it really hard. But the cool thing is that they have hydroplaning feels so right.
Yeah,
like even with a controller, it feels
where like the vibrations just stop.
They've got the vibration in the controller just right, and you lose just that amount of control that it's perfect. And it's just like it reminds me of driving really fast in Florida in the summer. Mm-hmm. And it's just like. Okay, so long as I stay on the throttle and don't try and turn, I'm
straight.
Cool.
Straight and pray.
Yeah.
Straight and pray. That's it's really cool. We're digging it.
But,
so one more week.
Yeah.
Or a week and a half. The 10th. The 15th.
Is it 15th?
It's the 15th. Full game turns out. ForzaMotorsport.net.
Oh, you know what it is? It's people that pre-ordered it get it on the 10th.
Oh, really?
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I think
do we get
you
it
can,
on the 10th?
Well, we'll have it.
We should have it already.
Yeah.
We should have had it already.
We'll probably have it tonight.
No, it was an error. No big deal. We're going out of town anyway, so it's not like we'll be able to enjoy it.
Yeah, and I had people going like, what's it like? Can you send screenshots and everything? I'm just like, I can't. We're under embargo until today. And now I can actually talk about it. But yeah, it's really fun.
Was there an embargo?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah. Well, we had that one little thing before with them.
I'm just looking at the keys to my Mustang. Frankly, I'm amazed that they actually work. This trunk key looks like it's been worn down like Andy Dufresne's rock hammer.
It looks like you've had it in a rock tumbler.
Yeah, I know. It's all like sanded, sandblasted and smooth.
Just to show you how precise those old Ford locks
are. I know. I can't believe this key actually starts the fucking car. That's crazy.
You probably just jam a paperclip in there.
You probably could. Fuck me. I'm like brain damaged right now. Let's go to Facebook. We haven't gone to Facebook in a long time. Let's see what Facebook has to say. And if they want us to talk about anything. Oh, there's some questions. Okay, covered that one. Why don't I sell the Aston Martin and use the money from that to put a better engine in the Fox body?
Because an LS
Let's do
motor
the math on that. Sell entire V12 sports car in which lots of money was just used to turn into manual.
And will be a collectible thing at some point.
Yes, in order to buy an engine.
That's and a non-collectible.
For the most common
too pretty race
That's
car.
That's a good idea. All right, here we were talking about this. On a tuner car, would you rather do a full coilover and have them professionally set up or sort out the stock suspension? I think it depends on where you're starting.
Yeah, what's the purpose of your car?
If you're starting with a car that doesn't have very good stock suspension, then you might want to just rip out the whole thing
and
go with a coilover.
A factory Mustang, like... Yeah. Anything below the GT350.
Yeah.
It's just adequate.
Yeah. A standard Mustang suspension is almost always improved with your popular modifications like Coney yellows and Panhard bars and stuff like that.
Or a really good example would be, just because there's not a lot that changed besides it, would be like a Camaro SS versus a 1LE. A 1LE is a fantastic car to drive, and the SS is kind of sloppy, and it just comes down to the dampers and the springs they chose on the stock one.
Let's see. Oh, I asked Facebook about how to improve car TV, and it seems like it seems like we're sort of preaching to the choir, because people who watch our shit don't watch car TV, and they think that the system is broken, like of those build shows. And
well, they're not wrong entirely. Yeah,
they're not wrong entirely, but they don't watch TV. They watch Netflix or they watch YouTube.
Yeah, they're our age,
right? Like. TV is watched by middle America that, like, eats Richard Rowling up.
I don't even know that it's middle America at this point. It's guys our dad's age.
Well, it's older guys and middle America.
Yeah.
You know, people saying they want to see a more technical approach, a network would never buy that. Like a nerd show?
Yeah.
I don't see that happening. Let's see. What is the best worst car you've driven recently? Morgan three-wheeler. That's the best worst car ever.
I saw a Tiff Nadell thing of him trying to drift it.
Yeah.
Two-wheel action all over the place, sliding, not...
Didn't go well.
On the grass, great.
Drifting a three-wheeler?
Yes.
Well, Alex Roy said if you try and slide the three-wheeler, it throws the belts. It becomes very unhappy.
Yeah, it did not seem to enjoy that.
Yeah. Let's see. Am I thinking of switching from the GT3 RS to the 350? We covered that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Not happening. Everyone is saying that everyone wants car shows on Netflix. Is Netflix buying car shows right now?
I think you have to sell it to Netflix.
Does Netflix have an FCC?
No.
They don't, right?
No.
That would be brilliant.
Netflix, Amazon, Hulu, all of the above do not have to abide by FCC stuff. The only thing is with Hulu... You have the existing media players mixed in, NBC, CBS, ABC, so you kind of got to play their game.
Yeah.
But with Amazon and Netflix,
it's whatever.
Whatever.
Someone's asking us our opinion on the Ferrari 512 TR. Do we think it will ever come down in value? No. Or is it destined for seven figures? Nah, not really either. Somewhere in the middle.
It'll be worth something. It won't be crazy.
It will slowly and predictably appreciate.
If you didn't buy it now, you missed it.
Or if I don't you know if you quite if you ago. Quite missed it. I think you can still get a Testarossa for something reasonable. They're fucking expensive to fix, though, and they break all the time. Like,
yes,
a gearbox is $40,000 for one of those things.
I had a friend that his suspension literally, he went to go leave his house one day, and the suspension just collapsed on three out of the four corners.
Yeah. That sucks. what do we think of Jaguar's new SUV, the F-Pace, and their sales plan?
Well, we were just talking, Thad and I were just talking about that before the show.
It looks pretty nice.
There's too many fast SUVs.
Yeah.
They need, like, fast SUVs that do Raptor shit. That would be awesome.
So you remember how Jaguar's theme used to be grace, space, pace?
Mm-hmm.
So the new SUV is called the F-Pace, as in fuck pace. So yeah. It's just grace and space, and it will have no pace.
Just smooth.
Is that going to be sharing a platform with the Rover?
XF.
Yeah.
I believe.
Oh, is it?
Okay. Is it XF? Or it's not? No, it's not Range Rover. Is it?
I would figure it would be, because they're so tied at the hip.
I don't know. Let's see. Jaguar XF. Is it? Oh, yeah. F-Pace. I mean, I think it looks all right. The pictures look
pretty
good. I
actually think from the side it kind of looks like a Porsche.
Porsche?
I think it looks a little... I think it looks a little...
Porsche-y? Really? Like Panamera-ish?
Yeah, I mean...
I feel like if you change the nose, it could easily be an Infiniti.
That too.
It does not... This particular article does not say what platform it is. It's either the XF or it's the Range Rover Sport, but I
let me
I
guess.
Can't.
It has either a V6 or a supercharged 5-liter V8.
I think, or a diesel.
Or diesel. Yeah. Okay, that's good.
Yeah. The diesel will be coming next year.
Although they'd have to have that for the Euro market, wouldn't they?
And Jaguar's new, their sales plan involves, cutting prices. I don't think the prices are Jag's problem. I don't think their cars are overpriced. I think the problem is that your average BMW, Mercedes customer doesn't even think about a Jaguar.
No, I think Jaguar and Cadillac are in the same boat in that they have the people that like those brands buy them.
Yeah.
Occasionally, they sucker in somebody like us that's in it for the performance.
Yeah.
But that's where they sit. They're never going to... I don't think they're ever going to be in that same field. Not to say they can't do well doing their own thing.
You know, they can, but I mean, everyone wants to... They want to expand market share and whatever. I think a lot of Jaguar's cars are kind of old. I mean, the XF, which the new one just came out, but the XF was around for, what, 7 years?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I remember us doing a road test of the XF in, like, 2009, and it was already old.
Yeah, they weren't particularly current.
Yeah.
Glocker had one when we went down to the HRE Open event, and it was a nice car. It was really nice, and it was the long wheelbase one too.
That's the XJ
or the XJ. Sorry.
Yeah, the XF was the midsize one.
I always mix up my Jaguars,
which had not aged particularly
well. Oh, the XF
was.
We had the XFR.
We had the RS.
Right. Yeah,
yeah.
That was fun. That was.
It was a motor. But the rest of the car was very kind of blah.
It was a little dated. It was nice. But, I mean, that car was basically burnout drift machine.
Right. But when you're talking about a $90,000, $100,000 luxury car, dated is not good.
No.
Because the competitors will, you know, when you get an M5 after that and you go, wow, it feels like a spaceship. And, like, more people want spaceship than want dated.
I think Jaguar's used to a different schedule than what the Germans have demanded. Every 3 to 4 years, you get a new version of their sedans.
Yeah.
And Cadillac has now matched that pace. And Jaguar's just kind of been like, nah, we'll do every other.
I don't know. I think they probably just didn't have the money to develop fast enough. I mean,
yeah.
The volume they were selling, they didn't have that much cash. But you got to do it. I mean, you got to fucking do it. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're going to end up like Jaguar.
Yeah.
I mean, just too bad. I mean, I enjoy the F-Type very much. I think the F-Type's awesome. It's a lot of fun. And I actually think the XJ is pretty sweet, although the styling is not aging really well, is it?
No.
Although it didn't look that great when it was new. That third blacked out C-pillar thing is weird.
With a lot of these big sedans, they just seem to hit the mark with styling, or not hit the mark with styling very frequently across all the brands. There's very, like, the 7 Series has been awkward at times. The S-Class.
The S-Class, I think,
the S-Class
is pretty
has been pretty
they've
good.
They've managed to stay consistently.
I think Audi has hit their mark with their...
They're always the most conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they've been pretty consistently good for, like, the last 2 generations.
Yeah, the A8 was great.
It's
yeah.
tough to make something that big, sexy, and tight, and sleek, like, and have a ton of room, and have all the safety, and have all this. It ends up being really fucking big, and it's like, they end up kind of looking weird. Because you can only go, like, so thin and tight in spots. Mm-hmm. You know.
But I also think, like, Jaguar's mid-cycle refresh on the last XF wasn't that much of a refresh.
No, I mean, and the XF started out as another car entirely, and then went, oops, we can't sell that body style anymore.
Yeah. Well, the new one looks kind of like the old one.
Yeah.
I hate to say it. I saw pictures of the new one. It does not look that much different, frankly. I don't know. I'm sure it has the new interior, like the F-type does, you know, with the new cool gauges and shit with the other one. The other one did not have. Not the gauges, the knobs.
Speaking of knobs and everything, I haven't been... Is the CTS-V interior any different than the regular?
No.
No?
I mean, it has Recaro seats.
Yeah.
Has a suede steering wheel.
I almost stuck
other
my head
than that,
in.
No.
I wasn't that crazy about how that car... I mean, it was a Cadillac, so I was okay with how it looked, but I kind of really like the CTS now, the CTS-V.
The CTS-V looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great, and the dashboard and the materials are nice. That Q, I mean, just sucks horribly.
Yeah.
But everything else about the interior is nice.
So you were cool with it now?
The CTS-V?
The interior is hard. Everything, minus Q. Everything.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. Minus Q, it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the seats were comfortable, and it was nice. Yeah.
Cool.
I can't talk too much about it because it's...
I reviewed it
in full for the other thing.
Yeah.
That I can't talk about yet. But yeah, no, I can say that the interior is nice.
Yeah, that's... That thing seems like a monster.
And I did that really one take drive. With the 80,000 mile CTS-V wagon, yep. And that had held up nice too.
You know, surprisingly, is even the first generation CTS-Vs, I mean, they have their mechanical gremlins because it was the first gen and they were figuring a lot of shit out. But otherwise, interior, what's that?
But the interiors hold up?
Everything's like okay. I mean, it's not great, but I mean, for a car that came out in the late 90s, it's not. It's pretty respectable.
Was that late 90s? I thought it was like 03, 04.
The CTS, I think, was... really started coming out because that was based on the Catera. That goes all the way back there.
Really? I thought it was an all-new platform.
No.
Maybe it's
the very
not.
First generation CTS was
no.
Was well, an iteration on the Catera, which was an Opel before that.
Yeah, that it was an like Opel Insignia or something?
There's an original one at the hill climb with a supercharger on it that sounded amazing.
Really? Yeah.
Did very well.
Was it very, very fast?
Very well for a big...
What's an LS6 with a supercharger on it?
That yeah, it ripped, and it sounded good. Which
all right,
the
so the
part.
First CTS was 2002.
Right.
Oh.
And let's see. Does it say anything about that? Wow, there's a lot of fucking different engines you get in that thing.
Uh-huh.
Nope, all new platform. The new rear-wheel drive Sigma platform. Independent rear suspension. Well, that's stupid. It marked a return to rear-wheel drive cars for the brand. It was the first Cadillac to be offered with a manual transmission since the Cimarron. It was designed as a replacement for the Opel-based Catera.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, that's the first CTS. Yeah, that must have been very exciting, me reading that. Wow.
Yeah, whatever.
We're fucking reaching today. I think I have a headache. I think we need to call this show because I'm out of things and I have a headache.
We're an hour and a half in, and
yeah, I'm sorry.
I have to go find a wrench for some shocks.
Yeah, I'm sorry. This has not been the most exciting show, but we haven't literally done nothing.
When did we record last 2 days ago?
Yeah, we did nothing related to cars in the last 2 days. All we did was office work.
It was this or an episode that was going to sound like crap from the road.
It was either this or we recorded in a Holiday Inn in Texas.
And
so,
way too late at night
yeah.
and working too hard for things we can't talk about.
And with exactly. Tom in the background, with Tom walking around in the background going, you can't hear this anyway.
Something like that. All right, the Smoking Tire Podcast is powered by Shout Engine. Get your own damn podcast at shoutengine.com. And we're off to Texas. I'll see you guys next week. And yeah.
All right.
Peace. Yeah.